This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight on Bent Notes is a Melbourne-based jazz guitarist and composer releasing his debut album. He grew up in Canberra before moving to Melbourne, where he has studied jazz at Monash University and has been performing around the traps for a couple of years now with many of Melbourne's jazz greats. It's my pleasure to bid a very warm welcome to Harry Tinney.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, there you go. You're here, Harry. We've got you on air. First up tonight, Harry, I'm intrigued with your description of your guitar, which I was reading about. And it's a guitar that you say you've used to compose and you record your new album. The new album is called Kingsnake. What is special about the guitar? And now, I understand that you bought it for yourself while you're in Japan, so instantly it says to me there's something a little bit different about this guitar.
Yeah, I went on a very self-indulgent trip. It would have been it would have been mid last year, actually, to buy this guitar, a guitar in particular, and it happened to be this one, after looking for some days. Yeah, I find it often hard to distill my influences musically, and so what makes the most sense when trying to describe the influence for this album is to talk about the character of the guitar. As you know, when I was trying to write music, everything that I wrote that appears on this album, I wrote on this instrument. And previously I'd sort of been changing around a lot of different sort of more traditional jazz guitars. Everything that sort of came out of this guitar, I'd like to think was a little bit different to what I'd written before.
What is it about the guitar that gives you something different?
I mean, first of all, it's kind of a very brash color. It's red and it's very loud and sort of feeds back and all of these kind of qualities, which I never
Sounds like a rock and roll guitar.
It's a rock and roll guitar. which is something I never sort of saw myself playing, but when I played it over there, I sort of couldn't go past it and ended up taking it over back home with me. So.
Now, I've read a little bit of description about it being unlacquered and banded wood grain. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the instrument, it's a manufacturing process, or I guess an unfinished part of the manufacturing process, as a lacquer protects the coating of a guitar. So if I knock it against something, which I inevitably do, you know, if rehearsing around or playing around, it'll sort of chip straight away. So even now, I haven't had the guitar for that long, but it's already kind of beaten up a bit, and every time I'll tap it, it'll make a big ding in it, so which I kind of like.
Well, it gives it character.
That's right.
It says that it is a much-loved guitar because it's getting used. Mm. Nothing worse than having a beautiful instrument sitting in the corner gathering dust. Now, I also understand that it's a Kingsnake brand, which I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's a very sort of obscure Japanese company, which factory-made guitar comes out of a bigger factory. I knew nothing about the brand. When I bought the guitar, I just liked the way it played. But funnily enough, just in the last few days, I actually reached out to the Japanese company to see if they had any interest in the music that I'd recorded using their guitar and sort of inspired by the instrument they manufactured. Some of it's probably lost in translation, but it seems like they really enjoyed the music and shared it on their platform. So we'll see. I don't know if there's any sort of collaboration there in the future, but I'd like to think there might be the possibility for
that. You've made first steps.
That's right.
That's very important. Now, it's quite a large-looking guitar. I'm looking at the picture here on the album. Is it a heavy device?
Not at all. It's actually very light. It's fully hollow, and it's probably the lightest guitar I've owned, which is great for my neck and shoulders and all of that.
It would be indeed.
Yeah.
So what is the biggest difference between that guitar and the other guitars that you've played? Is it the weight? Is it the feel, or is it the sound?
I think all of the above. Yeah, I guess ergonomically it feels different. It's lighter and it's kind of faster neck and all of that kind of thing. But the sound of it is really...
Now, there's a question. What does it mean when you say a faster neck?
I guess the action, so the string action is lower, so it's a bit more playable than some of the other good sort of...
So the strings are closer to the frets.
Closer to the frets.
So therefore you don't need to move as far, so you can get it quicker.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense now. Have you always been a guitar player?
Yeah, from when I was very young, I started learning. Both my parents are musicians, so I started learning from my dad. He taught me guitar from a very early age, and I kind of continued with it ever since.
What genre musicians are they? Do they have a genre?
They were always very into sort of jazz and soul and gospel music. Like, my mum directed a lot of choirs when I was younger and all that kind of thing. So they were both heavily involved in music. Even when we were kids, they were still playing gigs and that kind of thing. So
yeah. Sounds like there might not have been much choice in reality for Harry Tinney. He was always going to be a musician of sorts.
I think so, yeah, exactly.
When did you realise that you were going to be a musician and not just have a guitar for hobby?
I don't know. I think I'm still trying to answer that question. But so far it's going well, and I'm just sort of pursuing it and taking it as far as I can. So
well, it's a worthwhile process to work in that direction. Have there been any other instruments that have caught your attention along the way that haven't won out?
I don't think so. I've always liked guitar and the sort of many functions it has in different genres of music. And I also love writing music, so it's a great instrument to approach that process with. Yeah.
How does it help in terms of writing?
I think just being able to play harmony, more than one voice on the instrument, as opposed to a saxophone or a trumpet where you can only play single lines, being able to construct harmony and melody at the same time on the instrument is what, you know, like a piano is probably the only other instrument that I can, most commonly can do that.
Do you play piano?
Very poorly, yeah.
Enough to know which note's what?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just the white ones, yeah.
Do you remember your first performance, your first performance with a guitar, which might have been when you were young?
Wow.
Not that you're not young now, you are young. When you were really young.
Really young. I don't know about the first public performance. I might have been a school thing, yeah, playing in the school band or something at assembly. Yeah, that's probably what it would have been. I would have been up the back sort of faking it with my amplifier turned really low so nobody heard me.
But enjoying it immensely.
Enjoying it immensely.
What type of band did you have at school?
Jazz band and concert band, and I played in a bunch of rock bands that I sort of started or got roped into. Playing bass and guitar when I was younger, yeah.
So you've been through a few genres.
Mm.
Why jazz?
I think
it's not just that you're playing jazz; you've studied jazz.
Mm.
So it's a big decision to make.
Yeah. I think. I mean, I always listened to it. Probably wasn't the focal point of my musical taste for my whole life, but it was always there. And I think it wasn't until that I started studying it, both formally through an institution and outside of that, that I actually fell in love with it and, yeah, committed myself to listening to the greats play the music. So it's been a long time of studying it, and I'm still continuing to study it, that makes me enjoy it and enjoy playing it. Yeah.
Well, good to hear. Now, you've been studying at Monash Uni for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you achieved the objective that you had in your mind when you started studying?
I think the objective I had in my mind when I started was just to finish. I just wanted to get through it. And I did that. I didn't really have any expectations, or I never anticipated recording during my time there and putting a band together during my time there, especially kind of playing the music that I've ended up playing on this record. So that's been a surprise.
Oh, wonderful.
To me, yeah.
So You've done the course, gone through, but you didn't think you'd get to the stage of actually recording something of your own?
Of my own, yeah, and with my name on it, especially, you know, at this early stage and still what someone would say a formative stage in my life and my musical career, so, yeah.
Well, let's talk some more about that shortly, but I reckon it's time to have a listen to some of the album. There's a piece there called Double Shot. What's the story behind Double Shot?
Double Shot is actually... it's about the coffee, the method of drinking coffee.
That hadn't struck my mind.
It had, yeah. It didn't either for me. I wasn't aware of it. Somebody introduced me to it very recently, I might say embarrassingly, but I've been participating in this ever since. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Now, Harry, how did you choose the band to work with you on your live gigs and, of course, here with your brand new debut album called Kingsnake?
Yeah, the band is, I mean, first and foremost, they're my friends. Yeah, developed that friendship and got to know each other through playing music. But yeah, the two things are very intertwined, the friendship and the playing of music. But yeah, I initially met Patty, who plays bass on the record, at my first day of uni. We were in combo playing together from the first day of uni until now. And that was 4 years ago, but there's very few people I met during those early days that I still play with. And he's maybe the only person. So yeah, that's Patty. And then Brennan, who plays saxophone on the record, I met also at Monash. He was a little bit older than myself and Patty, so we met him a bit later, but started playing together. And a lot of the music we've worked on as a band together. The tunes, sometimes some were unfinished when I brought them to the band, but yeah, I've written it for these specific players in mind. Brennan's brought those tunes to life in a way. And then as well as Patty and Lewis. And Lewis I met later just through playing music. I struggled for a long time to find a drummer that kind of can shape the music that I play, and Lewis is that person. And it sort of took a long time to find someone who could do that. But yeah, that's what he brings to the band. So
excellent. So pretty much found through uni.
Mm.
It's the band members need to be people who get on with each other well, don't they?
Certainly, yeah. And when we haven't done much travelling, but we've played a lot and rehearsed a lot and recorded now, and that's a lot of time in the not playing music but spending time together. So yeah, getting along is pretty important.
One of the things about music is that you have the headliner. So in this case, it's Harry Tinney, and then you've got your side men who essentially support the band. In your mind, what are the most important aspects of being a side man in a band?
Being a side man? Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is, I guess, to respect the vision and of the band leader, whatever that may be. They have a certain role that they like you to fit into. That's your responsibility to do your best to, yeah, fit that role. And in my experience being a band leader, and I've had the great opportunity to being a sideman, the opportunities I've had to do that in Melbourne, the best band leaders I think are the ones that allow their sidemen to be flexible and show their character in the music, leave them space. And if you pick the right band members, if you leave them space, it'll be good. The results will be good. So.
From what you just said in the prior question about your band members, it sounds like that's exactly what you do as a band leader. Allow your band members, your sidemen, so to speak, to actually contribute to the band sound overall.
Exactly, yeah. They need very little direction, musical direction from me. And even if I do give them direction, generally they could come up with something better on their own terms. But yeah, very carefully selected players, yeah.
Good to hear. They've all performed here on your album, Kingsnake. How do you like to describe that debut album? Do you look at it as it's just an album of music, or is it something a little bit more? I did read something about Melbourne experiences.
Yeah, I think a lot of the inspiration for the compositions, not all cases, but some of the compositions began from sort of non-musical places. So I had a feeling or a memory or something that I wanted to encapsulate, and that's sort of what initially germinated some of these compositions. So yeah, sure.
I noticed one called Big Town, Melbourne.
Big Town's actually about Canberra, my
Canberra.
Hometown.
Canberra? Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Small town.
Small town, well, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of ironic.
How was it moving from Canberra to Melbourne? Was that a shock to the system?
I think so. And I mean, that's a sort of a nice segue. Like the first, oh, not the first track. I should know my own track list. But the third track, which is called Castles, which actually is not released yet, but will be shortly. It's actually came from a memory I had whilst I was riding my bike through the Melbourne CBD early on. And I sort of looked up and saw all the skyscrapers, and there's something sort of quite medieval about, you know, looking up and just not being able to sort of see the sky or seeing the sky through a tiny gap in the buildings. So yeah, that was sort of my overwhelming first experience of Melbourne for sure.
And the album you described as being, and the seven tracks, as seven different narratives, is that really what you just said, that there's a narrative there about the castles and there's a narrative about Canberra?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, each one has a different meaning to me, and sort of came from a different experience or memory for sure. Yeah.
So combining into this album is your experiences, your memories of various locations, the skills of yourself as the leader, and then the skills of the other band members. There's also other skills involved in an album in terms of the engineer who records it for you and, of course, then the organisation that puts it together. You recorded this at Pug House with Nico.
Yeah.
How was that experience to get into studio and record your first album?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to just first give a big shout-out to Nico, because, you know, he's just as much responsibility for the sound and the quality of this recording as all the people who played on it. Yeah, Nico was amazing to work with. He really, again, like the band members didn't need much direction from us. Yeah, the sound that he captured and the sound that, he helped to provide was great. And, he was a really big help. And, yeah, the recording process, it was relatively straightforward, as we'd played these compositions a lot on gigs and rehearsed them and talked about different ways of playing them before going into the studio. So for the most part, we weren't really reading any music, and we could kind of be free to try different things in the studio. And then, Nico was around to capture that. So that's what made it on.
Great combination of skill sets there to get this album to market, which is being released. It's being launched, actually, next Sunday night, isn't it?
Next Sunday night, that's right. Yeah, November 17th, we're going to be playing this music and new music as well, which has never been, will be premiered for the first time. Next Sunday, 17th, at the Wesleyan Band Room in Northcote. We'll be there and... Yeah.
Well, I hope that goes extremely well.
Thank you.
We'll be thinking of you next week. We might... what time are you kicking off? 8 o'clock, isn't it?
We're kicking off 8 o'clock.
We might schedule something around about 8 o'clock, see if we can schedule something of the Harry Tinney... Do you call yourself a quartet?
I mean, I'm calling it a group at the moment.
Okay, yeah, the Harry Tinney group. And then you're doing an East Coast tour. Where are you off to?
That's right. Yeah, well, there's sort of a side trip before the official launch this Sunday. We're playing Brisbane at Dubop Jazz Bar on the 15th, so we're actually heading off this week to Brisbane, and then we'll be back to play in Melbourne on the 17th, and from there we'll be heading off to, we're playing in Sydney on November 20th at Lazy Bones Lounge, then we're playing at Hotel Blue in Katoomba on November 22nd, and then we'll finish the tour with a hometown show in Canberra at Hippo Co on November 25th.
Sounds like you've got it all planned out there, Harry. It sounds like a great trip and a great way to launch this first album and then get into the next round of music for the second album.
Yeah. It's nothing quite on the cards yet, but it'll happen.
It will happen indeed. In the meantime, of course, you're still playing around the traps with a whole lot of amazing musos here in Melbourne. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and chat to us here on Joy. It has been a great pleasure to meet you and also to have a chat with you about the album and your music in general. For more details, where do we go? Harry Tinney Music on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, I guess, is the place. That's what people use these days. And Bandcamp as well. The album will be available digital downloads and CDs on Bandcamp. But yeah, for all news, Facebook page.
Harry Tinney Music on Facebook. I think we should have a listen to the title track of this album. It's called Kingsnake.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.